Good to be with you this morning. My sermon notes are in my bathing suit. I love it. We're in the second week of our study, Experiencing God. I have heard from many of you how you are experiencing God. No. They are, but they're done. But thank you. How God is meaning, oh, you got a couple. There they are. There's the outline. They're short, but that's what all I needed. There's not much to them. And so we are in the second week of experiencing God and learning about how do you walk with God, how do you hear God. And I'm more like to read the passage today because this is about looking up. And if you, the passage today is from Luke. So I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. You know, it's amazing how just two or three lines from the words of Jesus has a life-changing impact when we engage them. And Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man or a woman to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. I was in my 20s and I was trying to decide if I should really leave the study of law to go into ministry. I had been hearing from God a couple of times that in a very amazing way that he had called me to the ministry. I was mulling it over in my head at a baptismal service, as a matter of fact, and there were several hundred people there, and there was a woman praying with a couple over here, and I said to myself quietly in my head, Lord, do you really want me to go into the ministry? And a woman turned to me from here, and she said, you're supposed to go into the ministry, and then she turned back to what she was doing. I don't know who she is. But my friends were saying, what do you want, a telegram? I said, it would be nice, because I don't want to make another change, having made one already from the sciences into the legal field. And so I was. There was an opportunity to go to a gathering midweek at a church that I was attending. And in this ministry, the individual who was there had what was called a word of knowledge. You go up and he would pray over you and he would give you a word from the Lord. And I figured, okay, this is great. I'm going to hear that. So I got there bright and early, front row center, to make sure God could see me. This is a true story. And after 5 weeks of nothing, because everybody around me was getting ministered to, I ended up having to work, and so I was going to be late. So I was like over here behind the speaker. If you imagine these chairs going all the way around there. And I was waiting, and at the end, the minister said, I'd like the back two rows to come up. We'd like to minister, pray for you, minister to you. And so my heart sank. I was sitting over here. And I said, I remember saying in prayer, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I just need to know today what you want me to do. And he said, as you're all coming forward, I like to pray. And he was praying, and he said, now the Lord has called some of you into a special ministry. And there was a woman pastor with him that had similar gifting. When he said those words, she stopped. She walked over to me and she said, that was for you. And then she went back to what she was doing. And I made the change. I said, okay, I have not looked back. One of the things that you and I have to come to terms with is our focus. What is the focus of our Christian walk, the focus of our life? It's not focusing like bringing it into clarity. It's like, where is my attention being given to? Is my attention and my living my Christian life in such a way that God is an addendum to what I am doing? And we see that with people, Christians, and I, 50 years around the rodeo, is like Christians are frustrating because God's not doing what they're asking him to do. But they never once ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? And so the focus for you and for me is, where is it focused on God caring for my life, or is it my life surrendered to God? Whosoever, that's everybody, whosoever would come after me, whoever wants to follow after me, there is the word follow in the Greek, and there's sometimes he says to his disciples, here behind me, I'm going this way, we're going together, but I'm leading the charge. So he's leading the charge for us as individuals, for us as families, for us as a congregation, for us into the future. He's gone before us, just as he's gone before every brother and sister around this world. He's the Lord of all the nations. And what we want for him is for him to go on the path that we would like. I've seen that so often. I remember a young colleague who we were talking about calls and ministry, and it was our last year seminary. And he asked me, where do you think you're going to go? I said, well, I've looked into prison chaplaincy and military chaplaincy. And the reason I did that is because I've only been in the Presbyterian Church as a congregant for 9 months. Then I went to seminary. So the first retreat I went on, I led. It was a little scary. And so I figured at that time, I said, well, I'll probably take a congregation in the middle of the country, one of the INO states, Illinois, Ohio, a little church that nobody wants is probably where I was willing to go there. That's what I figured I would end up, because I had no history. God ended up calling me to Trinity Press in Santa Ana later on. And I said, what about you? He goes, well, I'm hoping to go to the National Cathedral. And I said, well, what about the congregations that don't have pastors? Well, somebody's got to serve at the National Cathedral. Really, I'm quoting, and I'm sitting there going, I don't know that that's how it works. So in our walk, just because one is in ministry doesn't mean that they have this nailed. Part of the thing you and I do daily is, Lord Jesus, how may I serve you? This is your life. This is your air that I'm breathing. This is your strength that I'm using. This is your mind that I have. Everything about me is given to me by you. Do you really believe that? And it's to be used for his glory's sake. When Jesus constantly, you read John, read the high priestly prayer, Jesus said, glorify me so that I might glorify you, Father. That Lord, let my life be a prayer of worship and service to you. Because everything he has given us is for his purpose. And the question we ask corporately, Lord, what do you want Glenkirk to be and to do in this valley, and then beyond it? We need to ask those questions before we think we have a good idea and we're gonna go running with it. How many of you have said, that seems like a good idea, and you run right into a wall? Anyone? Seemed like a good thing. It was a good thing, right? Look at Paul. They're trying to get into Asia Minor to preach the gospel. They were told to go preach the gospel in all the world. And they're trying to get in, and they can't. And his discernment was the Spirit of Christ hindered us. And then he got a vision, a dream, of somebody calling them to Macedonia, to the Greeks. And so they went over to Philippi, and they were going out to find a place to pray. And they ran into a woman named Lydia, and she and her family became Christians. And then what happened after that? They were trying to discern what God was doing. Well, the next thing that happened, they were walking down the road and a demonized girl who was foretelling futures was hollering after them. And so they turned, and Paul got fed up with that in his gentle spirit. He was an A-type alpha, if anybody was. And he turns around and he rebukes the unclean spirit, delivers the girl. And the guys that were trafficking her, using her, exploiting her, were very angry about that because they couldn't make money off her. And then they got arrested for it. And then what happened is God showed up in the prison, and the guy in charge of the prison, his whole family became believers. There's the church in Philippi. You got a rich woman, formerly demonized woman, and the jailer. That's the church of Philippi. Now, how many of you would have scanned out, we're going to plant a church in Philippi, and here's who we're going to go after? No, because this is an adventure. Lord, lead the way, because you know what you're doing, and use us to reach the men and the women and the families and the people. As I was driving here this morning, it just made me weep. I saw a number of people who were obviously on the street, and they were sitting down with their head in their hands like they were in despair. And I said, God, today I can't help them. I want to help them. I keep things in my car. I pulled into a shopping mall yesterday and had a blanket to give a guy that was trying to take a nap. A little kindness. What does God want us to do? What is our focus? Lord Jesus, everything that you and I are about is a gift from you to be used by your glory. When my kids were young, they love each other dearly now, but it's teenagers, not so much. My daughter wanted to borrow something from my son, and he would not do it. And they got into a verbal, he got very verbal about not wanting to do it. It's mine. And so Dad, in his demure way, went into his room, and I looked at him and I said, show me one thing in this room I have not given you. How dare you not share with your sister? How many have had that kind of experience? You see, it's not our stuff, it's his, to be used by his glory. So what is our focus? Is it every day, Lord, use me today for your glory. I want to serve you. Use my life. I have been focused on getting what I want. And that was one of the decisions I had to make when I chose to go into the ministry. I went, that's not about money, because all I was interested in was money and prestige. And that's why I was studying what I was studying. And so it was a conscious choice of giving away with that, of giving that up. When you do God's will, there's going to be a cost. We'll be talking more and more about this. When we were praying, Susan and I were praying about coming here. She said, if God is calling you to do this, I'm going to lose you for 2 years. And she basically has. I'm gone 12 hours a day from the time I get home to the time I get back. But that is her willingness to say, our marriage and our life and our home is for the glory of God and the service of Jesus Christ. So we have to do our focus. And then it's you have to take a look at your no. Every no is a yes. He says, if anybody would come after me, they must deny themselves. So no to yourself. You know, myself wants all kinds of selfish stuff, and I have to say no to it. Some things I'm not so good at. I'm learning. I'm working. But every time a temptation comes your way and you reject it, you're saying yes to God. You are clarifying who you are. You can take a look at every temptation, every opportunity helps you clarify who you are. So when temptation comes knocking your way, whatever that temptation is, it may be some ungodly thought, it may be a desire for vengeance, it may be in your own quiet of your own room wanting to speak out in rage at somebody or something or politics or a neighbor, or your boss, or your subordinate, and you choose not to do that, you are clarifying yourself as a disciple. And so when I choose to deny myself and say no to the things that self wants, so that I can say yes to Jesus Christ and what he wants, I'm clarifying who I am. You must take up your cross daily. And that cross, you know, is well, you know, what do you do on a cross? Follow him. Follow him to where? Calvary. What happened at Calvary? Calvary is where he was crucified. And so what he's saying is, hey, you want to go with me and be my disciple? We're supposed to be fully devoted disciples here. This is that's the goal. You got to crucify yourself and die to yourself to live for God. The world is dead to God and alive to sin. That's why it's so insane. You look at it, you go, this is insane. It is. It's insane. Lucifer is insane. I mean, anyone in their right mind that thinks they could beat God is insane. It's just insanity. He just doesn't know he's insane. And one of the things about the walk with God and our desire to say yes to God and no to sin is that we know that's a lie. Temptation always delivers a lie. And a yes to God is, no matter where you take me, I will trust in you. A yes to Christ says, my life and what I have is of value only in your hands. And so as I am going through and taking up my cross daily to follow Christ and to do what Christ is, it's a posture of how can I serve you? It is a privilege to serve Christ. He does not need me. He does not need you. He does not need us. He will accomplish it. You and I are invited into ministry. We are invited into his service. That is a privilege. If John the Baptist was not worthy to carry the sandals of Jesus, and that was something the rabbi said you couldn't require a servant to do. And Jesus said of him that he was the greatest up until then. Who am I to think that God is, that I deserve to be in ministry, that I deserve to serve him, that somehow he needs me? See, everything for me is a gracious gift. And so when I take up my cross daily, it's saying no to the darkness and yes to Christ. It is saying no, I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to speak words right now that are mulling around inside of me. Now, some of you probably have had someone in your family say, well, I just need to express what I'm feeling. Blah. How many have had that, right? Not a good thing, because what happens is as you think about things, your feelings change, and then you have some very bitter words to eat. There's no law, rule of mental health that says I need to express to you whatever feeling I'm feeling right now. In fact, healthiness is about maintaining and thinking through so that I can respond rather than react to people and situations. Because when I'm posturing, responding, rather than reacting in anger or reacting in fear, because if you're angry, you're fearful. Before I respond to a person and hurt, utter words that are going to be hurtful, I can think things through under the counsel of Jesus Christ. Take up my cross daily, because that's where I have to die to my old self and live for Christ. That's the remarkable thing of what the Christian faith. It's not about a list of rules. Christians do these nice things. It is that we have died in Christ and been made new creatures, new creations, and it gets lived out. He lives out his posture, his character, his spirit, the fruit of the spirit through us. And I get to choose to be part of that and surrender to that work of the Spirit in my life, in your life daily. And you can look at in chapter 2, how people said yes to God. And one of the things that happens when you say yes to God is that you're going to be taken to a point of, did I make the right decision? Because you're going to be taken to a point where you're going to need to pray and trust that he's going to see you through. Because it'll get hard. It's going to get tough when you say yes to Christ. When we say yes to Christ, we are going to come to challenges that we are going to need to see God's hand move in remarkable ways. One of the things I have found early on with young Christians is they get a lot of simple prayers answered. Oh, it's Christmas Eve and I forgot to buy my uncle a present, and I got a South Coast Plaza, and I got a parking spot right in front of Nordstrom's in the very front. Praise God. And I'm parked 3 miles away, right? But as people then mature, they start having to, God starts working on them. See, the early stuff is to let them know he's there. But then he starts molding us into the image of Christ. And one of the things of us saying yes to Christ is that he was made perfect in suffering, emotional and physical. How do you think he's going to make it our way? He's going to make us perfect, modeling after Christ. And you better have a way of understanding suffering in your world. Because that is how what he uses to mold us into the image of the Son that he loves. And that is emotional suffering, it is spiritual suffering, and it's physical suffering. And he meets us in the middle of it. So we have a no. But then we have your future, my future, our future. He says, whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. If I hold on to getting what I think I want, I will lose everything. One of my favorite hymns was sung at our wedding, and there's a line, it has that, have you not seen how the desires of your heart have been granted in what he has ordained? That as we look at our future and as we're looking at what Jesus is saying is, if you make it about you, you're going to lose it all. Because he is not here to serve you. We are here to serve his agenda. And his agenda is to seek and save the lost. It has not changed. And then to mold them and make us more and more like him. It has not changed. And when we are, if we are not interested in reaching our neighbors and our friends and our family members, if we're not on our knees fighting for their salvation and for the salvation of our nation, when I sing the hymn, God Bless America, I'm not talking about rich and wealth. I'm praying, God bless this nation with repentance. And bring us, let there be a new great awakening like there was in the 1700s. When the churches were filling and people were coming to faith in Jesus and our nation was being healed. And so our future, your future and mine, is made one decision at a time. Have you ever seen how your life, as you look back over the decisions you've made and how that got you to where you are? Now, I know most of us, we really get troubled over the big decisions. And I get that, because I struggle with the big decisions. But interestingly enough, some of the small decisions changed the course of my life. When I was at seminary, George, the senior pastor, asked me if I wanted to come and do an internship in a summer at the church, get to know the church. And I thought it'd be great. You know, I'd be exposed more to the church. It was an internship, and I would be home. Otherwise, I'd be somewhere in the mid-country, probably. But it was out of that that I met Susan. It was out of that interest in calling me as her assistant pastor happened. It was out of that one small decision to go work at the church and serve there for 3 months, that my entire direction of my life changed. God uses when you make small decisions and you sense that's what God wants you to do. Expect incredible things when you say yes to the direction that God is leading you. Our future, yours and mine, are a series of yes and no's to situations and people and circumstance. But the important ones are, yes, Lord, reveal to me. So how does he reveal to us? That's the hard one. One of my prayers is, God, I'm as thick as a brick. Sounds like a good album. I've dated myself. Jethro Tull, sorry. But I'm saying, Lord, I sometimes feel deaf to you, and I want to hear. So soften my heart, because in scriptures, there is a relationship between hearing God and having a soft heart. What is a soft heart? God, I'll do whatever you want, no matter how scary, how bizarre, how weird. Because, you know, one of the things you never know is what God's going to do with that small yes that you say to him. I have a pastor who was sitting in a situation, and there was a young woman there, and God said to him, you are go tell her that God hates mommies and daddies. How many think that's the weirdest thing you ever heard? And he argued, and it got more and more intense. So he got up and he walked over there and he said to her, I'm supposed to tell you that God told me to tell you that he and Jesus hate mommies and daddies. And she started to sob, because the one who molested her as a child said, let's go play mommies and daddies. And that opened up her whole life to the healing mercies of Jesus Christ. That took guts. But he got into the current of the compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ for this individual woman. May we start small and grow in courage and faith, that we might say, yes, Lord, whatever you say, your servant hears. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love and your grace to us, your call in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. You speak to us through the scriptures. You speak to us directly. Give us discerning hearts and opening ears to hear your voice. You speak to us through the counsel of brothers and sisters that are wise. You speak to us through circumstance where you open doors and close them. Lord Jesus, as a congregation of your people, we want to take up our cross and follow you. For whatever we lose, we will count as nothing for the surpassing glory of knowing you, Jesus Christ, and of serving you, and of hearing from you, well done, good and faithful servant. And God's people said, amen.